Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
We are now on part six of a series that we've been teaching for 6 weeks now, which is titled, What's Your ID? And today, you know, we've been trying our best to understand throughout this entire series, which is our main objective, and that is to understand that our identity lies within our relationship with Jesus Christ, and also to understand some spiritual disciplines that will help us to grow in that relationship, meaning that relationship with Jesus Christ. So many people, they struggle with understanding who God is and understanding that God is their father and that we are their children. And that struggle comes because of not really understanding the relationship that we have or that we should have with God or with Christ. And so, and the question of the message is, or the series is, what's your ID? In other words, who is it that you are? And the message that we want everyone to know is that you are God's child, that he is your father. That's your ID. The scripture that we've been using here to drive us is the book of John, chapter 1, and verse 12. It says, but to all who have received him, who is Jesus Christ, to those who believe in his name, again, Jesus Christ, he gives us, or he has given us, the right to be what? To become God's children. All of those who believe in Jesus Christ and believe in his name, Jesus has given all of us the right to become God's children. So who are we? We are God's children, but so many people struggle with truly knowing or truly being able to relate to God as being his child or him being their father. And so that's what we're trying to accomplish throughout this series, is help us to better understand or better relate to being a child of God. Our lesson today, the subtitle of today's lesson is, Have You Done Your Homework? Now, I know that some of you are actually all of you on here are grown, right? And so you probably don't have a lot of homework, but you do remember homework when you were in school. So whether you was in grade school, junior high school, high school, college, I mean, even on your jobs, you know, we have homework assignments from time to time, you know, but homework should never stop. It should never stop, okay? I remember as a kid in school, I used to dread homework. I used to hate homework. You know, it's like, man, I spent all these hours in school all day long, and you mean to tell me that you're going to send me home with some work that I have to do at home too? That's not fair that I should have to work at home and work at school too. When do I have time to play? When do I have time to play my Atari, my Sega Genesis? For some of you that's old enough to know what those are, right? When do I have time to go outside and play kickball and play hide and go seek and stuff like that? When do I have time to do this stuff if I got to do all this homework? I used to think in my mind, I'm a child. Let me be a child. I'm a kid. Let me be a kid. I shouldn't be have to work all day. If you're going to make me do all this work, I should get paid for it, right? Right. But my question to you is, what have you done your homework? Where are you at right now in your life? I don't care how old or how young you are. You still have homework. Homework should never stop. And I want to know, have you done your homework? I used to hate when teachers ask us that. As soon as we get in class, they'd be like, have you done? Or no, they said, turn in your homework. That'd be the very first thing. Like, oh my gosh, man, I haven't done it yet. And sometimes you wake up early, early in the morning before school and try to get your homework done because you sure didn't do it the day before, right? How many of y'all can relate to me? Wave your hand and wave it at it. Amen. Amen. So the objective of today's lesson is this: to help us to understand that we need to study the Bible. and to help us to understand why we need to study the Bible. So our homework, your homework, should be studying the Bible. So ask yourself the question, okay? And some of y'all know this. You know if you have, you know if you haven't. Ask yourself the question. When was the last time you studied the Bible? Okay, I'm not talking about looking up a scripture. I'm not talking about, you know, something that you ran across on Facebook because somebody else posted it. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about, you know, seeing something on Twitter or listening to a message, you know, on YouTube that somebody else is preaching, you know, or listening to me. You know, I'm talking about when was the last time you picked up a Bible and you actually studied it for yourself? And I'm not talking about just reading the Bible. Some people get a misunderstanding about reading and studying. It's not the same thing. Okay. It's not the same thing. When was the last time you actually studied something in the Bible, studied it for yourself? We have to understand this, that studying the Bible, it helps us, okay? It helps us, and we need to understand why it helps us, all right? So, you know, I've been talking since the very beginning of the series, I've been talking about how important it is to truly relate to God being our Father, and also to relate to us truly being His children. Again, I say that's something people struggle with. We know that God is, you know, God Almighty. We know that He is, you know, the supreme being. We know He's the Alpha and Omega. We know He is Lord. We know He is, you know, our Heavenly Father. We know all of these things, but even in knowing these things, it's still a struggle to truly relate to God being our Father and us being His children. So many times people will ask the question, and a question such as, you know, how is it that God still loves me in the midst of all this stuff that I do that's so wrong, you know, or in the midst of all of my troubles and all the sin that's on my life? How is it that God still loves me and He still blesses me? Simple answer, because you're His child. He's your Father. You know, for those of you that have children, you can relate to this thing. It's like, yeah, your kids get on your nerves. They drive you crazy. Like, you know, someone said on here earlier today during our fellowship time, somebody please come get these babies. You know, sometimes we want to be like, somebody come, please get these babies. Come get these kids because they're going to drive me crazy. I'm going to hurt one of them. You know, our kids, they do drive us crazy and they put us through. But no matter how bad our kids put us through situations, guess what? We still love them no matter how bad our kids, you know, how much wrong they do, and they go in a different path and we're trying to lead them down the right path. We still love them. We still love our children. Why? Because they're our children. And we need to really, really understand that God is our Father. How is it that He can still love us in the midst of all of our sin, in the midst of all of our wrongdoing? It's because we're His children. And so we're hoping that we can truly understand this. One of the ways that we can do this is by one of the best ways to relate to God as being our Father, and is to invest in our relationship with Him. One of the best ways, I'll say that one more time. One of the best ways to relate to God being our Father is to invest in our relationship with Him. Too often we don't invest in our relationship with God. You know, we need to invest in that relationship. We need to get to know Him. We need to get to know Him better. So many people have a hard time relating to God as their Father because they truly don't know Him. You know, think about your own mom. Think about your own dad. You know, some people, you know, have been blessed. Some of us have been blessed with having a mom and having a dad that we know and that we have a relationship with. Some of us, you know, our relationship with our parents, you know, we know who our parents is, but maybe our relationship with our parents isn't that good. You know, some people don't know who their parents are. We, you know, people are on different levels from one spectrum to the other end of the spectrum when it comes to their relationship with their parents. And I want you all to know is that when you see, like you see somebody, you know somebody, and they have a good relationship with their mom, they have a good relationship with their dad, they laugh, they joke, I mean, they do all type of things. And sometimes their relationship with their parents might seem like they're friends or they're best buddies or whatever. They just, They just have a great relationship with their parents. And then other people, they don't. You know, one of the things that we want is we need to invest in a relationship with God so that we can have a relationship with him where we can laugh, we can joke, we can just have a great time. You know, he knows us and we know him. And it's like, man, that's a intimate relationship. When we have that type of a relationship with God, it becomes so easy to relate to him as truly being our father and we being his children. We need to get to know him better. We need to spend time asking him for, or shall I say, we spend so much time asking God for stuff and we spend very little time getting to know him. It's like, you know, I'm gonna give it to you real harsh. Okay. I'm gonna smack you in the face with this thing. How many of you guys get tired of going to the gas station and you're getting ready to go into the store and there's people out front of the store begging you for money? Hey, you got some change? Can you spare some change? You know, it drives me crazy sometimes. You know, if it was something that happened every now and then, it wouldn't bother me so much. You know what I mean? And, you know, I give out a little change here and there, whatever, you know what I mean? And we all got stories about this, right? I remember one time somebody was asking me for some money. I went inside the store and they said they was hungry. And I said, okay. And, you know, I didn't say nothing to the person. So when I was in the store, I decided to buy, you know, one of those sandwiches out the fridge and threw it in the microwave, got a drink, bought a sandwich and a drink. When I went outside the store, I gave it to the dude. Dude was like, man, I don't want that food. I want some money. Okay, that was my response with him. I took the food and ate it myself. But anyway, y'all get tired of people that you don't even know constantly asking you for stuff. When you have people that you don't know constantly asking you for stuff, it gets on your nerves. Now imagine you're constantly asking God for stuff and you don't even know him. Hmm. You don't even know him. God be like, okay, you know me. Okay, tell me this about me. Tell me something about me. And you be like, you know, and I'm not saying this in a negative, bad way. I'm saying this in a way to encourage you in investing in your relationship with God. You don't want to be someone who is always asking God for stuff, but you never spend any time to actually get to know him. The Bible is one of the best ways to get to know God. And it's also one of the best ways that he talks to us. If you want to hear God's voice, if you want God to talk to you, guess what? He already did. He did it in a big old book called the Bible. It's laid out there from the beginning to the end, from the start of humanity to the end of the earth. Okay. It's in the book. You want to know the story? Guess what? It's in the book. All you have to do is pick it up and study it from time to time. Okay. Study the Bible is one of the best ways that you can get to know God. And it's also one of the best ways that he will speak to you. Okay. I have a video that I want to share with you guys. All right.
What you doing sitting out here? Trying to steal something? What's wrong with you?
My grandmama died.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, baby.
My Aunt April gonna send us back to foster camp. They gonna separate us. I'm all Manny and Byron. God, if we separate, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Oh no.
Calm yourself down, honey. Calm down, getting all worked up. Calm down.
Can we stay with you?
Huh?
Nobody wants us.
That ain't true. Somebody wants you.
I'm only 16. I don't know how to handle all this.
Honey.
I'm tired. I don't.
Living takes a lifetime. You got a whole lot more living to do, honey.
I don't feel like I'm going to make it.
Oh, you're going to make it. Hush then. Just got to keep getting up every day and taking one day at a time. You're going to make it.
My grandma Rose used to tell us. Pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
You
Then that's what you ought to do. You ought to pray about it. Talk to the Lord about it. That's what you ought to do.
Yeah, but she only told her. She never told me how to do it. Would you teach me? Please.
Show you how to pray?
Yeah.
Whew, Lord, child, I ain't talked to God since the last time I saw a cop in my rearview mirror. Whew, I guess I can try. I can try to pray. You need to know the number?
The what?
The number.
The number?
The caller. They say Jesus on the main line. I don't know the number. Sit back. Okay. Bow your head. First, give an honor to God, to the head of my life. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. Father God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Shadrach, Meshach, and the billy goat, who was in the fiery furnace that they barbecued on the day of Pentecost when the Jewish people returned from the Sabbath day up on the mountaintop in Ethiopia. God of Mary, J. Blige.
My dad, that don't sound right.
Huh?
That don't sound right. That's not how Mama Rose used to do it.
You ain't feeling it? You don't feel the anointing?
No.
Honey, listen, I don't know nothing about praying, but all praying is talking to God, having a conversation with him. And at the end of your conversation, you say the name of Jesus, that's your stamp that'll get it up there to him. Yeah.
Sometimes, and I know some of you probably can relate to it, maybe not on that level, you know, with Maria, but sometimes, you know, when it comes to talking to God or we find ourselves in certain situations and you know, it becomes very uncomfortable in praying, you know, especially with someone else or in certain situations, you know. And, you know, this all comes, you know, one of the things that Maria says is that, man, I haven't talked to God since last time I saw a cop in my rearview window or rearview mirror. Some of us, you know, when we really think about the last time we talked to God, and I'm not talking about just saying a little quick prayer here and there, you know, a little casual prayer. Sometimes our prayers just become just, you know, words, you know, with no real meaning or no real substance. But I'm talking about truly talking to God. You know, and that's something that God desires. When we talk to God, when we talk to anybody, when we talk to people, you know, the more we talk to people, the more a relationship is built on and a more relationship is established. When you don't talk to people on a consistent, regular basis, then what happens is gaps and disconnects come within that relationship. It's the same way with God. When we don't talk to God on a regular, gaps and disconnects come within that relationship. But here's the deal. We need to not be like Maria. Maria did not know the Bible. Maria was talking about barbecuing and the three boys in the furnace. Maria don't know the Bible, right? I'm not talking about my Maria. I'm talking about the Maria on the show, right, with Tyler Perry. But we don't want to be someone like that. I remember there was a time I was talking with a good friend of mine. And when we was having a conversation and there was a student in the school that he worked in, and the student was going through something and he was trying to give his student some encouraging words and talk to him. And he's actually using some, you know, Bible stories to try to help him, encourage him. And so he was telling me the things that he was telling this kid. And I'm listening to him this whole time like, dude, that's not right. That's like way off, you know. And he sounded like Maria for real. Like, I was like, no. I said, oh, hold up, stop, time out, you know, time out. Let me get it right with you. Let me help you out. And the thing is that so often we're not able to express, or we're not able to articulate God's word is because we don't read it. We don't study it. We need to know God's word. It's very, very important for us to know God's word. People struggle with knowing God's word because they don't read it. They simply just don't read it. If someone was to come to you and they was to ask you about God's word, say, hey, I got a question about something. There's something I just don't get, something I just don't understand. Tell me about this or tell me about that. Would you stumble? or would you hesitate, or would you give your opinion about something? Or would you actually be able to give someone the knowledge of the Word of God itself? Or are you just going to be giving them your opinion? You know, we have to be very careful that when it comes to God's Word, that we're not giving our opinion, but we're actually giving true knowledge of God's Word. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 15, a lot of us are very familiar with this scripture. It says to study. The very first word is to study. And it's like I said in the beginning, it's to study and to read is two different things. It's not the same, okay? We read for entertainment. We study for knowledge. Y'all got that? Somebody needs to tweet that right now. Write it down and tweet it. Save it for later. We need, reading is for entertainment. Studying is for knowledge. We need to, it says to study to show yourself approved unto God. I know I want to be someone that God approves of, right? And I'm sure that all of you on here want to be someone that God approves of. One of the ways that God can approve of you, or God will approve of you, is by you studying His Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, able to rightly divide the word of truth. All right, we're going to break this down just a little bit more, all right, so that you can understand it just a little bit more. We need to know our Bible. We need to know the Bible that we have, you know, God's Word. Studying the Bible is a discipline that helps us to grow in our relationship with God. You remember in our main objective for this entire series is that we need to understand that our relationship or our identity lies within our relationship with Jesus Christ, okay, and with God. And we also, and our objective is also to learn some disciplines that will help us to grow in that relationship. So this is one of the disciplines. Studying the Bible is one of the disciplines that we need in order to help us to grow in that relationship, all right? So here's the deal. It helps us to grow in our relationship with God. It helps us to grow in our relationship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. So it is very important that we understand that we need to study the Bible to show ourselves approved unto God, to be a workman that's not ashamed, able to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, I'm going to break this thing down for you guys so you can understand it here better. Okay, so here's several benefits, and I'm going to give you some benefits in knowing the Bibles, better benefits, some benefits that you need to know, to understand how the Bible is going to help you out, okay? Help you with your disciplines to grow that relationship, all right? In these disciplines that I'm going to give you, it's going to break this scripture down that I just shared with you, knowing the Bible, okay? So first of all, knowing the Bible helps us to know God, all right? You want to know how you're going to be approved of God is by knowing Him, all right? If you don't know Him, then how can you be approved of Him? There was a scripture that Jesus said, He said one time, He said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And I think it's in the book of Revelation. He was talking about different situations, and there's going to be people who's going to be crying, "Jesus, Jesus," and crying, "Lord, Lord." And He's going to say to them in the last days, during the day of judgment, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That means that you were never approved of Him. There, and hear this one more time. Okay, let me break this down one more time. Jesus said, in the last days, there are going to be people who's going to be yelling and screaming, "Lord, Lord." Jesus is going to respond to them by saying, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Okay? Means that you were never approved. All right? One of the ways or one of the benefits of knowing the Bible, of studying the Bible, is being approved of God. Okay? It helps us to know Him. When we know Him, okay, Jesus is going to say in those last days, "Come on, my brother, come on, my sister, let's go to glory." All right? He's going to know you, and you're going to know Him. Amen? Again, it helps us in our relationship, or it helps us to relate to God, what? Being our Father, and also helps us to relate to Him, or to us being His children, right? If we understand, truly understand remember our scripture that we shared in the very beginning. Let me go back to that scripture real quick. At the very beginning that we're using to drive us is John chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, but to all who have received him, who is Jesus Christ, to those who believe in his name, Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, he has given them the right to become God's children. All right. So knowing the Bible helps you to truly relate to the reality that he is your father and you are his child. It helps people to know that. It helps you to know your father. Now, I want to put emphasis on the word your. I don't want to say it helps you to know the father, but it helps you to know your father. So often people will relate to God as the Father, the Heavenly Father. No, he's more than the Heavenly Father. He is your Heavenly Father. When you truly eat that up, that word up, your, then you're personally doing what? What's your ID? Your, I am God's child. He is my father. Y'all see the ID that's happening here? The idea is changing. The idea is shifting here. He's not the God. He's not the Father. He's your God. He's your Father. All right. Amen. Here's another thing. Reading the Bible or knowing the Bible helps us to also help others. Knowing the Bible helps us to help others. When you study the Bible, your knowledge of the Bible, it gives you a boldness that you don't have to be ashamed. To be able to share God's word. You won't end up being a muddy or sitting on the front porch trying to tell somebody about God or trying to say a prayer. Guess what? When you know the word, when you know it and you understand it, guess what? It gives you a boldness. You be ready. You will be so ready. Somebody say, hey, can you pray? Man, you poof, because you know who your father is. You know what I'm saying? Because you know who you are, you're ready to go. Bam, I got you on this one. You know, somebody asks you a question about the Bible. Somebody asks you a question about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit. Bam, I got this. I know this. You know, you ever sit in class sometimes when you were in school? Let's go down memory lane, okay? Them days when you was in elementary school, for those of y'all that's old enough today, it's grade school. But for us, it was elementary school, right? I don't know what the difference is, but there is a difference, okay? But when we was in elementary school, I remember at times, you know, the teacher would sit in front of the class and the teacher would ask a question to the class. Can anybody tell me where Australia is? And you have a whole bunch of people be sitting back like, oh, gosh, I do not know where Australia is. And you be sitting there thinking, you be sitting there hoping and wishing, like, please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. You see the teacher looking at everybody, eyeballing everybody. And then you look down. Because you don't want to make eye contact with the teacher, because you know as soon as you probably make eye contact with the teacher is going to pick you, right? And then you know, oh my gosh, dang, man, why they pick me, man? I don't know the answer, man, to this question. And you'd be like, Australia is it's on the other side of China. And you'd be like, okay, and you're just hoping that you got it right, right? But this is the deal. You don't want to be that kid in class where when it comes to God's word, that you're not willing to, you do not want God to make eye contact with you, or you do not want someone to make eye contact with you because you don't want to be held accountable to try to give an answer or give a report or to give some understanding about something. You know, you don't want to put your head down and try to look away. No, when you want to be that one kid in the class, there was always one kid. Y'all know who I'm talking about. There was always one kid when the teacher would ask a question, they were so quick to raise their hand. Me. And the teacher ain't even looking at that kid because the teacher's like, man, we know that you know the answer. OK, let's see if somebody else over here know the answer. And that kid be like, me. And then that kid don't get picked. They get frustrated and get mad. Like, dang, man, I want to answer the question. And then somebody else give an answer and it's the wrong answer. Then that kid raise their hand. Me. You know what? Be that kid. Be that kid that's so quick to raise their hand. They ready to give an answer, because guess what? When you know God's word, when you are approved by God, study to show yourself approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed. You are not ashamed. You are ready to jump the gun and give the answer to it. Be that kid. I have a teaching series that I used to do, and maybe I'll do that one day here with Crosstown Church. It's called Teacher's Pet. Well, I really encourage people to be teacher's pet. We used to hate teacher's pet in school, right? But I encourage people to be a teacher's pet. I'm not going to get into that, but I have a whole teaching on that thing. We'll do that one day here. But check this out. Be a teacher's pet. Be that kid that always know the answer. Be that kid, okay? Don't be ashamed. Your knowledge of the Bible tells people that you know what you're talking about. It tells people that you know what you become bold. You become courageous. You are ready to share God's word, to give an account to it, be able to tell somebody about it, be ready to pray. You become that person. But guess what? We don't have to do that in an annoying way. We don't have to do that in a way that gets on people's nerves or whatever like that. It's not that we're just always jumping in front of somebody so we can pray, or jump in front of somebody so we can give an account or nothing like that. No. It's when you're invited, when someone comes to you and they say, hey, can you pray for me? Bam, I got you. You know what I mean? It's having a humble spirit about yourself. Can you pray for me? There's something going on in my life. I just need somebody to pray for me. Bam, I got you. Hey, I got a question about something, a question about life. And how does God see this? How does this relate to, you know, to this whole spiritual life? And what a bam, I got you. You know what I'm saying? A humble spirit is having a humble spirit is inviting to people. They want you to pray. They want your knowledge. They want your understanding. And you become bold and ready to be able to share it. Here's another benefit. Another benefit of knowing the Bible, it helps us to know the truth. So many people struggle with knowing the truth, not because they're dumb and stupid. They struggle with knowing the truth simply because they just haven't studied. Studying the Bible allows us to know the Bible and to know the truth. It helps us to be able to decipher the truth from what? The opposite of the truth is the lie. It says to study to show yourself approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, able to rightly divide the truth, okay? From what? The opposite, which is a lie. You're able to take information, all right? And you're able to divide the truth out. You're able to say, okay, here's a whole bunch of information right here. I'm gonna pull the truth out. Here's the truth over here. All this other stuff over here? Nah, it's not the truth. Here's the truth right here. Y'all got this? Let's divide this stuff up. Okay, y'all, here go the truth. And that's what knowing the word of God does. That's a benefit of the knowing the word of God. It helps you. It allows you the ability to be able to decipher the truth from the lie. Our world is in a bad place right now, because there's so many lies out there that are being perpetuated, and we have bought into the lies. We have bought into the lies. We are eating with the lies. We are laying down with the lies. We are drinking with the lies. We are living with the lies. We are working with the lies. Should I keep going? We are totally engulfed in living with the lies. One of the reasons that God, if you guys remember the story about Sodom and Gomorrah, that was Lot and his family. God instructed Lot to leave. Okay. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. God instructed Lot to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. He said he's going to destroy those two cities because they are just full with so much sodomy, so much sin, so much incest, so much all kinds of stuff, right? A lot of sexual sin. A lot. Those cities were taken completely over by mostly a lot of sexual sin. He said, I'm going to destroy those cities. All right. And one of the things that God had to do in that situation is he had to pull Lot out of that situation, because what was happening to Lot, one of the things that was happening to Lot, who was a man of God in those cities, he was actually beginning to lay down and to live with the lies. Lot was eating with, drinking with, laying with, sleeping with. And I don't mean literally sleeping with, okay? But I'm talking about the lies had began to take over his life. And he was in a place where he could no longer decipher the lie from the truth. And so God was like, no, we got to get you out of here, okay? Because this is not good. I'm going to destroy this place, all right? So one, I want to preserve you and your family. But you see what you're doing here, Lot? No, you're laying with the lie. We are living in a society where so many of us are living with the lies. And we're not able to decipher the lie from the truth. We're not able to rightly divide the word of truth. Wow. Knowing God's word helps us to know the truth, to decipher the truth. So when it comes to studying God's word, how many of you can relate to it? It seems like every time you really try to make a commitment to study God's word, it seems like all these distractions just come into play, right? You got your cell phone, you got, you know, music, video games. All kinds of stuff that's going on. I don't even know if y'all heard. Did y'all hear the doorbell constantly going off in the background at one point? Somebody's at the door. You know, we struggle. Sometimes we have the best intentions. We have the best intentions to really spend some time and to study God's word. But we struggle with studying God's word because we don't develop a plan. You know, developing a plan is so important in so many different areas of our lives. So many times we don't succeed in certain things because we don't have a plan. I remember my wife, she shared something with me just recently. You might have to refresh my memory on this, Margaret, but I remember you were talking about, you was listening to something about how, why is it that so many churches don't succeed or they don't do well? And it's because they don't have a plan. And so often when it comes to a business, when it comes to an organization, some of you probably have businesses in that you've tried to start or that you did start. And, you know, they just haven't kicked off, or maybe they was doing good in the beginning and then they just began to fizzle out. And then you jumped into another business venture and, you know, same thing happened there. You jumped into another business, same thing happened there. You know, there are certain things when it comes to, you know, maybe organizing our own household. You know, we want to fix certain things in our household, you know, whether with the physical house, you know, the organization of things, or maybe with our families, with our kids, or maybe with our finances. I mean, you can go on and on and on through so many different areas of our lives. And the reason that most people fail at certain things is because they don't have a plan. Studying the Bible is no different. It is no different. Even when people are in school, when people are in college and stuff like that, and they're trying to be successful in school and college, and what happens is so many distractions come into their lives, which are the normal everyday stuff that they already had experienced, but they're in school now and they're trying to succeed in school, but they don't have a plan of study. When people don't have a plan of study, it's hard for them to be successful in what they're trying to accomplish. When it comes to studying the Bible, so many people are not successful in studying it because they don't have a plan. All those everyday distractions that already exist pulls you away from studying God's word. So here's some things that you need to do, okay? Here's some things that I want to give you to help you out, and that is to get a plan. Develop yourself a plan of study. Don't just say to yourself, you know, I'm going to study the Bible more. I'm going to study the Bible more. It ain't going to work because you probably done already said it a million times throughout your entire lifetime. Yeah. Man, I need to study the Bible more. This week, I'm going to study the Bible more. You know, I'm going to start. You know what I mean? And some of you probably have gone out and bought these, they call them these one-year Bibles and stuff like that, which is designed to help you read the whole Bible in 1 year. And you know, I know so many people done bought them Bibles, and that company, them different companies that make those Bibles, they done banked and made a whole bunch of money because 90% of the people done bought them Bibles never read the whole Bible in a whole year. Okay. And, but most people get a plan, work your plan, and stick with your plan. All right. We put it off. What happens is we put off studying the Bible till later, and later never comes. Amen. It never comes because we don't have a plan. Or maybe we did get a plan or develop a plan, but we didn't stick with it. We didn't work it. Okay. So here we go. I'm gonna help you out. In developing your plan, this is what you need to do. Help you to develop a plan. So if you got a pen and paper, I hope you're taking notes. All right. Or if you got a recorder, record it. All right. It's a proven fact. I tell people this a lot. It's a proven fact that if you write something down, you are more likely to retain that information than if you don't write it down. Okay. So taking notes is a very valuable asset to learning. It's a very valuable asset to your studying, okay? Writing it down, write it in your phone, write it in your tablet, write it in your laptop, write it with a pencil and a pen on a piece of notebook paper or something. Write it down, okay? So here's some things I want you to write down. How to develop a plan for studying the Bible. Number one, decide the best place. Amen. Okay? That's the very first thing you need to do. Decide on the best place to study your Bible. It may not be your living room. It may not be your bedroom. It may not be your kitchen. And to be honest with you, it may not even be your house. Mm-hmm. Some of you may need to develop a place or decide on a place that's not at home. You may need to go to the neighborhood library. I'm just being honest with you. You may need to go to the, I mean, there were times where I would go, when I would study, a lot of times I would leave the house, you know, go to a coffee shop, sit down at a coffee shop and have me a cup of coffee and study. You know, there were times where I would literally go to the neighborhood library. Why? It's a great place to go. It's quiet. You know what I mean? They have a lot of resources. If I got to a place where I'm stuck in my studies or whatever, and I'd be like, man, I wonder what this right here means. I got all the resources in the world right there at the library. You know, there was times where I would, you know, when I was in college, I would go to the school itself and study. You know, find the right place to study. I mean, really put some effort into that, because that will automatically kill your chances from the very beginning. Your plan is shot if you don't have the right place. Number two, decide on the best time. Everybody's schedule is busy, and 99.999999% of people would say that the reason that they don't study the Bible is because they just don't have the time. It's a lie. Mm-hmm. Be able to decipher the lie from the truth. All right. Split them up. You got time. Okay. You got time. It's just a matter of you dedicating time to it. So, but in dedicating time to it, you have to decide on when is the best time. When is the best time, and how much time you're actually going to spend? You don't have to spend 2-3 hours studying the Bible, okay? Maybe you start off with just 10, 15 minutes, you know? But let your study drive you. Let your study dictate and determine how long you're going to study. Don't put a time, a beginning and a cutoff time to it. Okay, decide on the time itself, okay? So maybe it's in the morning time. Maybe it's in the afternoon, maybe it's during lunchtime. Maybe it's in the evening time. Maybe it's not, you know, you decide on the right time for yourself, okay? Number three is this. Decide on which version of the Bible is the easiest for you to understand. So many people fail at studying the Bible because they choose the version that is the hardest for them to understand. I remember when I first started, I used to read the King James Version, you know, because that was quote unquote, that's our Bible, right? And supposedly the most reliable Bible that's out there. I don't know that it is or that it ain't, but I tell you this, I found some mistakes in it. And when I say I found some mistakes, I found some grammatical mistakes that are serious. Okay. I mean, serious enough to give consideration to where you have to find out, wait a minute, this is wrong. Even just the way this is said, this is not grammatically correct. Okay. So anyway, find the right. I like the King James Version. I ain't gonna lie to you. I like the King James Version. I do not use the King James Version as my main study Bible. I use the New Living Translation. Okay. The NLT is what it's called, the New Living Translation. That's the one I use. I have tried different ones, American Standard Version, you know, the New King James Version, you know, it's a bunch of them. I tried a bunch of them. But to me, for my understanding, the way I think, you know what I mean? And you have to find one the way you think to help you to understand certain things. Find the best one for you. one to help you to understand, use that one. Okay. I want to also encourage you, also make sure that you use the King James Version. All right. I have my reasons for that. You do your own research, do your own studies on it. It's not the, I'm not saying that it's the perfect Bible. I'm not saying that there's not any mistakes in it. As a matter of fact, I can take you to a place and I can show you where a scripture, one whole scripture was totally eliminated because they ain't know what to do with it. It was such a controversy. So it jumps from verse 3 to verse 5. A whole scripture just gone. They just took it. Well, we don't know what to do. Let's just take this one out. But anyway, my point is, it is a good Bible. You know, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Y'all understand me? It's a good Bible. I use the King James Bible as a cross reference Bible, because sometimes in these later versions that's been translated, they'll translate it so much until it becomes their own interpretation, and they get so far away from the actual word itself that it's like, wait a minute, that's they too far off right now. So what I'll do is I'll go back to the King James Version and use it as a cross reference to see how it lines up with the another translation that I might be using. Okay. But there's other find the right resources for yourself, find the right Bibles for yourself. And in that, you'll begin to understand, or you'll begin to see in your studying, which ones are more reliable. Some of them have been translated so much to where they're not that reliable. Okay. Kind of like Wikipedia. Wikipedia is a great resource for information, but you cannot depend on Wikipedia to be factual all the time. All right. It's a great resource. So many Bibles are like that. They're great resources, but you can't necessarily depend on them to be factual all the time because man has translated them. Okay. Hope y'all understand that. So find the right one.
I'm just trying to think of the title, but the book that you use where you can reference what a scripture is actually saying.
Concordance. Yeah. It's called a Strong's Concordance. Mm-hmm. All right. A Strong's Concordance is very intimidating. I'm going to just tell you that right now. It's very intimidating. It's a book about this thick. You know, it's a fat book, man. But what it is every single word that's in the Old Testament, every single word that's in the New Testament, it defines those words for you in the Hebrew. Like the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. So it has every single word in the Old Testament defined in the Hebrew. And then it has every single word in the New Testament defined in the Greek. And so it is a good study guide to have, but you, in the beginning, it can be real intimidating. So you have to learn how to use it. If you don't learn how to use it, it's just going to discourage you, and you're just going to throw it away. All right. Okay. So I've given you three so far. I'm almost done. Okay. Number one, decide on the best place to study. Number two, decide on the best time. Number three, decide on the best version or the best translation for you to help you to understand. Number four is this. Decide where to start in the Bible to read. You know, some people, they'll just start from Genesis and then just work their way through and just keep going. You know your thinking, you know your understanding, you know your level of learning. Okay. We all have different levels of learning. We all think differently, different levels of understanding. Know your level of learning. And so you have to decide on where's the best place in the Bible for you to start studying it based on your level of learning. Also, you need to consider, where are you at in your life? That's a very important piece of it. Where are you at in your life? And use that to help you to determine on where do you start in studying the Bible. Here's my suggestion. And I guess the best suggestions for that I can give you guys is the things that worked for me, all right? And what works for me may not work for you. You have to figure that out for yourself. When I first started, I decided that I was going to start in the New Testament. I was going to start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then go through the New Testament. Once I got through the New Testament, then I was going to start, you know, with the Old Testament. And even with starting with the Old Testament, I didn't just start from Genesis to try to go through it. I jumped around different places. You know, there were some times where I didn't know what to do, and I just opened up the Bible, and wherever I opened it up to, that's what I read and studied. You know what I mean? So do you have to figure out what's good for you. Where do you start? This is the reason that I started with the New Testament. I started with the New Testament because I felt like for me to truly understand Christianity, which was the religion that I was raised under, which was the religion that I chose for myself, I decided to go with Christianity, or I said, I started to start with the New Testament because the New Testament really defines Christianity. The Old Testament don't really define Christianity. It defines, you know, Judaism. It defines the Hebrew understanding of God's word. Okay. It's necessary for us. It is ours. It's a part of God's word. It's not something to be discounted or thrown away, because especially the historical and the learning aspects of it, it's great. The Old Testament is wonderful. Okay. Here's a place of study in the Old Testament. It's the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is incredible. Incredible information, incredible instructions on life. The book of Psalms is full of instructions on everyday life stuff. If you want to know, if you're trying to figure out, man, all this life stuff that's going on and instructions about this, instructions about that, or how you deal with this situation or how you deal with that situation, the book of Psalms, it's all in there. It's so many instructions. King David gave so many instructions. He gave these instructions to his children. And then the book of Solomon continues on, because Solomon was one of David's sons. Solomon gives instructions to his children. The book of Psalms is a whole lot of instructions that David gave to his sons, gave to his children. And the book of Solomon, the same thing. A lot of instructions on life. But I started because I truly wanted to understand the basis of Christianity. So I started with the New Testament and I grew from there. All right. Last thing in your plan, developing a plan to study the Bible, remove distractions. Remove distractions. Your kids might be your distraction. Your spouse might be your distraction. Your cell phone will be your distraction. TV will be your distraction. You know what the distractions are. You can identify them. And if you can't identify them, do this. This is how you can identify them. This is how you can easily identify them. One, decide on a place that you're going to study on. Number two, decide on the time that you're going to study. Three, decide on the version that you're going to use. Number four, decide on a place where you're going to start studying the Bible. And then just go for it. Go for it. Your distractions will start showing up real fast. You don't even have to try to figure out what your distractions are. They're going to start showing up. Okay. And so all of a sudden you got these four steps, these are parts of your plan, and you're implementing these four steps. Then all of a sudden, boom, here go a distraction right here. Oh, that's a distraction right there. I need to remove that distraction. Okay. Keep going. You know, remove that distraction. Bam. Oh, that's a distraction right there. I need to remove that distraction. You don't even have to look for your distraction. They're going to show up. But what happens is when they show up, remove them. Remove them. All right. These same things, I want you all to notice these same steps in this plan not only work for the Bible, but they work for everyday life. They work for everyday life. The same things. Okay. So here's my closing thoughts. My closing thoughts is this: we need to study God's word. Subtitle of today's lesson is, have you done your homework? If you haven't done your homework, you need to study God's word. Know this, know that God will speak to you through his word. If you want to know God, if you want to get to know God, you need to have regular, consistent conversation with him. Studying the Bible is regular, consistent conversation with God. God will speak to you through his word. Okay. And the last one is this: no book will help us more in knowing God as our Father and us as his children.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee, 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.